السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahhud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifat Masih V, Ayyadullah Ta'ala bin Nasrul Aziz, stated, Hazrat Uqasha bin Mihsan was a companion of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Uqasha bin Mihsan is counted among the most senior companions. On the occasion of the Battle of Badr, he joined as a cavalier and also broke his sword. Upon this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed him a piece of wood, which in his hand became as if it was a very sharp sword made of high quality iron. Thus, he fought with that until Allah the Exalted granted victory. Later, he joined the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all the other military campaigns using the same sword. That wooden sword remained with him until he passed away. The sword was called Aun. The Holy Prophet ﷺ gave him the glad tidings that you will enter paradise without any reckoning. At the occasion of the Battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to the companions that the best cavalier of Arabia has joined us. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, who is that individual? He replied, Uqasha bin Mihsan. It is narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, from among my followers, a party of 70,000 will enter paradise, whose faces will glisten like the full moon. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that on hearing that, Uqasha bin Mihsan stood up and lifting his covering sheet, he said, O Allah's Messenger, pray that may Allah make me one of them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, O Allah, make him from among them. Another man from the Ansar stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pray so that Allah makes me one of them also. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Sabaqaka biha Uqasha, meaning Uqasha has succeeded ahead of you in this regard. While narrating this incident in his book on the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu anhu writes, during one sitting, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from my ummah, 70,000 people will enter paradise without any reckoning. Meaning that they will have such a high spiritual rank, and the grace and mercy of God will be such that there will be no need for their reckoning. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that their faces will be glowing on the day of resurrection, just as the full moon glistens on the horizon. Narrating all of this, Hazrat Uqasha then said, pray for me as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed that may he also be among those people. After this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu anhu has written a very beautiful commentary on this and has analyzed the incident. He writes, this may seem a very insignificant incident from the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it contains a treasure chest full of spiritual insights. Firstly, we learn from it that Allah the Exalted has blessed the Ummah with the spiritual blessings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which have reached such perfection that on the day of resurrection there will be 70,000 such people from his Ummah who, due to their extraordinary spiritual status and special grace and mercy of Allah, will be exempt from the trial of any reckoning. 70,000 could also denote a large number of people. Secondly, from this we come to know that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was granted such nearness to Allah the Exalted that he immediately turned towards him and showed him a vision or revealed to him upon his supplications, informing the Holy Prophet ﷺ that Uqasha is also among this group of 70,000. It is possible that Uqasha was previously not included in this group, and that God granted him this honor as a result of the prayers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, from this incident we also learn of the immense respect the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Allah the Exalted. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet desired to invigorate the sense of striving among his ummah to such an extent that when another person following Uqasha requested him similar prayers, the Holy Prophet refused to pray individually due to the lofty spiritual status this pure group was blessed with. He turned the attention of Muslims towards righteousness, faith, and virtuous deeds, and informed them that if they established and turned their attention towards this, they would attain this status. Fourthly, this also sheds light on the high morals of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an extraordinary manner. The reason for this is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not decline in a manner which would upset and hurt the feelings of the Ansari making this request. Rather, he declined in a most subtle manner. The Holy Prophet sent Hazrat Uqasha to battles in various expeditions and appointed him as their leader. In Rabiul Awwal, in the 6th year of Hijrah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ appointed Hazrat Uqasha as the leader of 40 Muslims and sent them to face the tribe of Bani Asad. This tribe had set up their camp near a fountain called Ghamr, and was located at a distance of a few days from Medina. Uqasha's group travelled very quickly and reached close to that tribe so that they may prevent them from causing any mischief. Following this, they came to know that the people of the tribe had dispersed as they gained awareness of the Muslims. Upon this, Ukasha and his group returned to Medina without fighting. In other words, they did not try to fight with them without any reason. Contrary to the allegation people raise, is that these people or Muslims were keen on waging wars. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that when Surah An-Nasr was revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed Hazrat Bilal to call the azan. Following the prayer, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered a sermon, and people began to weep profusely as they heard it. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, "O people, how am I as a prophet?" In response, the people replied that may Allah reward you. You are the best of all prophets. You are like a gracious father and a kind guiding brother to us. You have conveyed to us the message and revelation of Allah the Exalted, and you have called us towards the path of our Lord with wisdom and goodly exhortation. Hence, may Allah reward you with the best reward which He blesses His prophets. The Holy Prophet ﷺ then said, O ye Muslims, I swear by Allah and by the responsibility placed upon me that if I have committed any cruelty or injustice towards anyone, he should stand up and avenge himself. However, no one stood up. The Holy Prophet took another oath and repeated this. However, nobody stood up. The Holy Prophet repeated this a third time, saying, O ye Muslims, I swear by Allah and by the responsibility placed upon me that if I have committed any cruelty or injustice towards anyone, he should stand up and avenge himself prior to the Day of Judgment. Upon this, an elderly person stood up from among the people, whose name was Ukasha. He passed through the crowd of Muslims until he stood face to face with the Holy Prophet ﷺ and said, O Prophet of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for your sake. If you had not repeatedly taken an oath, I would certainly not have stood up. Hazrat Ukasha then said, I was with you during a battle. On the way back, my camel came close to your camel. I dismounted from my camel and approached you in order to kiss your feet. However, you struck your stick, which hit me on my side. I am not aware whether you struck me with the stick or the camel. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that by the glory of Allah, a prophet of God cannot hit you intentionally. The Holy Prophet ﷺ further addressed Hazrat Bilal and said, O Bilal, go to the house of Fatima and bring that stick. Hazrat Bilal went and said to Hazrat Fatima, O daughter of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, give me such and such stick. Hazrat Fatima replied by saying, O Bilal, what is my father going to do with this stick? Is this not the day of Hajj and not of war? Upon this, Hazrat Bilal said, O Fatima, how unaware are you in relation to your father, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Holy Prophet is saying farewell to the people, leaving this world and allowing people to avenge themselves. Hearing this, Hazrat Fatima was astonished and asked, O Bilal, who will desire to seek revenge from the Holy Prophet? She further said, O Bilal, tell Hassan and Hussein to stand before that person so that he may avenge himself on them, and so that they may prevent him from seeking revenge from the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Hence, Hazrat Bilal returned to the mosque and handed the stick to the Holy Prophet, who then handed it to Ukasha. When Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar observed this scene, both of them stood up and said, O Ukasha, we are standing before you. Avenge yourself on us and do not do anything to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. The Holy Prophet said to both of them, O Abu Bakr and Umar, stop. Allah the Exalted is aware of your status. Then Hazrat Ali stood up and said, O Ukasha, I have spent my entire life with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I cannot bear that you hit the Holy Prophet. Hence, I present my body, avenge yourself on me. You may hit me 100 times, but do not seek revenge from the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet said, O Ali, remain seated. Allah is aware of your intention and status. After this, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein both stood up and said, O Ukasha, we are the grandchildren of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and seeking revenge from us is akin to seeking revenge from the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet said to both of them, O my dear ones, sit down. The Holy Prophet then turned to Ukasha and said, O Ukasha, strike me. Hazrat Ukasha said, O Prophet of Allah, my stomach was uncovered at the time you hit me. Upon this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted the covering from his stomach. Witnessing this scene unfold, the Muslims started to weep profusely and utter, Is Ukasha really going to hit the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? However, when Hazrat Ukasha saw the shine on the body of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raced towards the Holy Prophet and started to kiss his body and said, O Messenger of Allah, who can ever imagine taking revenge from you? Upon this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Are you going to take revenge or are you going to forgive? Hazrat Ukasha responded, O Messenger of Allah, I forgive you, and in its place I am hopeful that Allah will pardon me on the Day of Judgment. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed everyone and said, Whoever desires to see my companion in paradise should look at this old gentleman. Hence all the Muslims stood up and began kissing the forehead of Hazrat Ukasha and congratulated him, for he had attained a high status and friendship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was Hazrat Ukasha, who realized that this opportunity to kiss the body of the Holy Prophet during his lifetime may not come again, as he was informing everyone about his departure from this world. During the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ukasha was sent with Hazrat Khalid bin Walid to crush an uprising of a certain tribe that had left Islam. Isa bin Umayla relates a narration from his father in which he says, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu would approach the enemy. If he heard the azan, he would not attack. But if he did not hear the azan, then he would launch an attack. When they reached a tribe situated at a place called Bazaha, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu sent Hazrat Ukasha bin Mihsan and Hazrat Thabit bin Akram to obtain information about the enemy. Both of them were on horseback, and the name of Hazrat Ukasha's horse was Al-Razam, and that of Hazrat Thabit's was Al-Mahbar. They came across Tuleha and his brother Salama, who had travelled ahead of the enemy in order to gather information about the Muslim army. Tuleha confronted Hazrat Ukasha, and Salama confronted Hazrat Thabit, and the brothers martyred these two companions. Abu Waqid Laysi narrates, 200 of us were leading the Muslim army. Upon finding the bodies of Hazrat Ukasha and Hazrat Thabit, we stood by until Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came and ordered us to bury these two companions in the same blood-stained clothes they were martyred in. This incident took place on 12th Hijri. This is how they were martyred. Hazrat Hazrat Kharja bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was one of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who belonged to the Aghas family from among the Khazraj tribe. His daughter, Hazrat Habiba bint Kharja, was married to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and was the mother of Hazrat Kulthum. The Holy Prophet ﷺ established brotherhood between Hazrat Kharja bin Zayd and Hazrat Abu Bakr. He was a chief from among his tribe and was considered amongst the noble companions. He had taken the oath of allegiance in Uqba. After migrating to Medina, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had stayed at his house. He took part in the Battle of Badr, and during the Battle of Uhud, he attained the status of martyrdom whilst fighting with immense bravery and valor. He was attacked by spears and received more than 13 wounds. Safwan bin Umayyah walked past him as he lay down due to exhaustion from the wounds. Safwan recognized him and attacked, which resulted in his martyrdom. He also mutilated his body and said he was amongst those who killed Abu Ali, i.e. my father, Umayyah bin Khalf. I have the opportunity now to kill the most elite companions of the Holy Prophet and satisfy my heart. He killed Hazrat Ibn Qawqal, Hazrat Kharja bin Zayd, and Hazrat Aws bin Alqam. Hazrat Kharja and Hazrat Sa'd bin Rabi, who was the cousin of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were buried in the same grave. It is narrated that on the day of Uhud, Hazrat Abbas bin Abada called upon the Muslims in a loud voice and said, "O Muslims, remain attached with Allah and His Prophet. The calamity you have experienced now was because of being disobedient to the Prophet. He promised you support, but you did not show patience." Then Hazrat Abbas took off his helmet and armor and asked Hazrat Kharja, "Do you need this?" Hazrat Kharja responded, "No, I also long for what you desire." They were surrounded by the enemy afterwards. Abbas bin Abada stated, "If the Holy Prophet ﷺ is injured in front of our eyes, what excuse will we have in front of our God?" Hazrat Kharja radiallahu anhu stated, "We will have no excuse or no evidence to present before our Lord." Sufyan bin Abd al-Shams Salmi martyred Hazrat Abbas bin Abada, and Hazrat Kharja bin Zayd received more than 10 wounds caused by arrows. Hazrat Malik bin Dukhsham walked past Hazrat Kharja bin Zayd on the day of Uhud. Hazrat Kharja was fatally injured and had received nearly 13 wounds. Hazrat Malik said to him, "Are you aware that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been martyred?" Hazrat Kharja responded, "If the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been martyred, then certainly Allah is living and he will not die. Muhammad ﷺ has conveyed the message. You should also fight for the sake of your faith." Hazrat Kharja had two children, out of which one was Zayd bin Kharja, who passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Kharja's second child was Hazrat Habiba bin Kharja, who was married to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. At the time of the demise of Hazrat Abu Bakr, she was expecting. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had mentioned that, "I am expecting a daughter from her," and thus she gave birth to a baby girl. Another companion of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was Hazrat Ziyad bin Labid. His mother's name was Amra bint Abid Atruf. Hazrat Ziyad had a son called Abdullah. He accepted Islam during the second pledge of Aqaba along with 70 companions. On his return to Medina after accepting Islam, he broke the idols of his tribe Banu Bayada, which they used to worship. He then travelled to the Holy Prophet ﷺ in Mecca and remained there until the Holy Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina. He too migrated after the Holy Prophet had reached. This is why Hazrat Ziyad is renowned as a Muhajir Ansari. He was a Muhajir and an Ansari too. Hazrat Ziyad fought alongside the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ditch, and in all other battles of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. After migrating to Medina, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was passing by the quarters of Bani Bayada. So Hazrat Ziyad greeted him by saying, Ahlan wa sahlan, and offered his home for him to stay. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said to let his camel loose, as it will find its home by itself. In Muharram of 9th Hijri, the Holy Prophet ﷺ appointed different collectors of Sadqa and Zakat. So Hazrat Ziyad was appointed a collector for the area of Hadramaut. He continued his service there until the time of Hazrat Umar's Khilafat. After being relieved of his duty, he moved to Kufa and passed away there at the age of 41. It has been written down in history that when the uprising of apostasy of certain tribes had gained momentum during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr and the people refused to pay the zakat, Ash'as bin Qais al-Kindi was also among those who became an apostate. Hazrat Ziyad was appointed to punish him. When he went to attack him, he had taken refuge in the Nahir fortress. Hazrat Ziyad had besieged them so severely to the point that he became distressed and sent word that if he, along with 9 other people, were granted safety, they would open the doors of the fortress. Hazrat Ziyad said to write down the agreement and bring it to him to stamp. Thereafter they opened the doors. Later on, when they checked the agreement, the names of the 9 people were written down, but Ash'ath forgot to write down his own name, so he was taken prisoner to Medina with the rest of the captives. Another companion of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was Mu'attib bin Ubaid. He had no offspring, so his nephew Usair bin Urwa was his sole inheritor. Hazrat Mu'attib bin Ubaid participated in the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and was martyred on the day of Raji. The incident of Raji is that in which 10 companions were martyred. Regarding this incident, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib wrote that those days were very perilous for the Muslims and the Holy Prophet ﷺ was receiving alarming news from all directions. Yet the most alarming news was coming from the Quraysh of Mecca, who had become bold and daring after the Battle of Uhud. Perceiving this threat, the Holy Prophet ﷺ prepared a party of 10 companions in the 4th Hijri in the month of Safar and appointed Ahsan bin Thabit as the leader. The Holy Prophet ﷺ gave them orders that they must quietly reach near Mecca and gather information about what the Quraysh are planning and to inform him of their intentions. However, the party had not yet set off when a few people from the tribes of Azal and Qara approached the Holy Prophet ﷺ, stating that there are many people who are inclining towards Islam in their tribes. Therefore, the Holy Prophet should send some people back with them who will preach to them about Islam. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to know of their desire, he sent the same party of companions which were preparing to leave to gather information about the Quraysh. However, as it was later discovered that these people were lying and had come to Medina due to the instigation of Banu Lahiyan, who had plotted to take revenge of the killing of their chief, Sufyan bin Khalid, that with this alibi, they may have Muslims leave Medina and then attack them. The Banu Lihyan had promised the tribes of Azal and Qara many camels in reward for doing this. When these treacherous people of Azal and Qara reached between Asfan and Makkah, they discreetly sent a message to the Banu Lihyan that the Muslims are accompanying them, so they should come forth. 200 young men of the Banu Lihyan, among whom were 100 archers, departed in pursuit of Muslims and seized them in Raji. Raji is the name of the place. 10 people could not stand up to 200 soldiers. Furthermore, the Muslims had not yet been taught to carry weapons if such circumstances arose, and to fight those who besieged them. Immediately the companions climbed up a peak, preparing to defend themselves. The disbelievers, for whom deception was not considered a shameful act, told them that if they come down from the peak, they will not kill them. Asim radiallahu anhu replied, "We have no trust in your vows and promises. We will not climb down despite your assurances." Then he looked up to the sky and said, "O Allah, you see what situation we are in. Convey to your Prophet the plight we are facing." Hence, Asim radiallahu anhu and his companions died fighting. When 7 companions had been killed, and there only remained Khubayb bin Adi, Zaid bin Dasna, and another companion, the disbelievers, whose initial intentions were to capture them alive, called out to them to come down, promising not to harm them at all. This time the innocent Muslims fell into their trap and came down, but as soon as they had descended, the disbelievers tied them up with the strings from their bows. Thereafter the companion who was with Khubayb and Zaid, whose name is recorded as Abdullah bin Tariq, was unable to bear this and yelled out that this is the first breach of your promise. Who knows what you will do further on? Abdullah refused to go with them. The disbelievers forcibly dragged him along a little further, but soon after they killed him and left his body there. Seeing as their revenge was exacted, in order to please the Quraysh, and out of greed, they left for Makkah. When they reached Makkah, they sold them to their relatives. The children of Harith bin Amir bin Nawfal bought Khubayb, because Khubayb had killed Harith during the Battle of Badr. Zaid was bought by Safwan bin Umayyah. And eventually, they were both martyred. Another companion was Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair, who was a Badri companion. Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair, Aqil, Hazrat Amir, and Hazrat Ayas all accepted Islam in Dar-e Arkam. All 4 brothers were the first to accept Islam in Dar-e Arkam. The Holy Prophet ﷺ established a bond of brotherhood between Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair and Hazrat Zaid bin Dasna. He took part in the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair was among those who were martyred in the incident that took place in Raji, which has been mentioned earlier, in which 10 Muslims were deceived and killed. Prior to the Battle of Badr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ once sent a delegation under the command of Abdullah bin Jahash to inquire after a caravan of the Quraysh, and Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair was also part of this delegation. He was martyred in the month of Safar in the 4th Hijri at the age of 34, alongside Asim bin Thabit and Mursid bin Abi Mursid Ghanvi, whilst fighting against the Azal and Qara tribe in the Battle of Raji. In regards to this, Ibn Ishaq states that when the members of the Azal and Qara tribe took the companions to Raji, which is the name of a spring that belonged to the Ozail tribe, and located on the outskirts of Hijaz, it was there that they betrayed these companions. These companions were deceived and betrayed by those who were taking them to Rajiv, as they incited the people of Uzail tribe against them. The companions at the time were in their camps, when they noticed that people were gathering from all sides with their swords drawn, and so they too bravely stood to engage in battle. The disbelievers then stated, "We swear by God that we will not kill you, but we simply wish to hold you as captives and take you to the people of Makkah and seek recompense from them for your return." However, Hazrat Marsad bin Abi Marsad, Hazrat Asim bin Thabit, and Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair replied, "We swear by God, we shall not enter into a treaty with the idolaters." In the end, all three fought until they were martyred. In one of his couplets regarding these three individuals, Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit stated, "Ala laytani fiha shahidtu ibn Tariqin, wa zaydan wa ma tughni al-amani wa marsada, wa dafa'tu an hibbi khubaybin wa asimin, wa kana shifa'an law tadaraktu khalidan." Meaning, "Even though one's longing can be of no avail, but I wish that I could be alongside Ibn Tariq, Zayd, and Marsad at the incident of Raji. I would save my dear friends Khubayb and Asim, and if I came across Khalid, he too I would have saved." These were the individuals who rendered such great sacrifices in order to safeguard their religion and faith, thus attaining the pleasure of God Almighty. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, writes in one of his books, "We are ever grateful to God Almighty, who bestows great favors upon us and removes our sorrows. We send salutations of peace upon his Prophet, who is the leader of the jinn and men, and leads the pure-hearted towards the heavenly gardens. May peace be upon his companions, who rushed as if intensely thirsty towards the fountain of faith, and in the abyss of darkness they were enlightened with the excellence of knowledge and morals." In another place, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states regarding the companions, "They were like lions on the earth in the day, and hermits in the night, and serve as shining stars of the faith." By being like hermits in the night means that they spent their nights in worship. They are all the recipients of God's pleasure. May God Almighty enable us to improve our intellectual and moral conditions, and also the standards of our worship at night. After the Friday prayer, I shall lead a funeral prayer in absentia of respected Ismail Malagala Sahib, who was serving as a missionary in Uganda. He passed away and returned to his Creator shortly before the Friday prayer on 25th of May, after suffering from a heart attack at the age of 64. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. Ismail Malagala Sahib was born in 1954 in the Makunu district of Uganda. Both of his parents were Christian. Therefore, he too was born as a Christian. Malagala Sahib's brother-in-law, Haji Shoaib Nasira Sahib, is an Ahmadi, and therefore he would often visit Haji Shoaib Nasira Sahib's house. He developed an interest in Islam through Haji Shoaib Sahib. After a long period of correspondence in which he would ask questions and await a response, the truthfulness of Islam dawned upon him. Eventually, in 1978, he performed the bet and entered the fold of Islam Ahmadiyyat. When he accepted Islam, he mentioned to Haji Shoaib Nasira Sahib, "From childhood, it was my desire to become a Christian missionary. Now that I have accepted Islam, is there any way in which I can serve Islam?" At this, he informed him that he can devote his life for the service of Islam. At that time, Muhammad Ali Kahiro Sahib, who is at present the Emir of Uganda, had completed his studies from Jamia Ahmadiyya, Pakistan, and had returned to Uganda. In 1980, he sent Mala Ghala Sahib along with five other khuddam to study in Pakistan. In December 1980, Mala Ghala Sahib enrolled into Fasle Khas in Jami Ahmadiyya Rabwa and completed his studies on 1st of March 1988. With regards to his studies during his time at Jamia, the principal at that time, Sayyid Mir Mahmood Nasir Sahib, writes, "Although he may be weak in his studies, however, he cooperates in all matters and is a very obedient student. He had a simple nature and would remain occupied in worship. He had a habit of meeting elders and requesting them for prayers. The deceased gentleman studied in Jamia with due diligence, and when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah, had to migrate from Pakistan, he was among those members who performed duties tirelessly and with great courage. The current principal, Mubashir Ayaz Sahib, writes about him saying, "We were in Jamia at the same time. He had a very pious nature and a quiet disposition. He would be counted amongst those Jamia students who had a passion for worship and exercise. His level of obedience was exemplary and worthy of mention. Since I was Naqib and Zaim, I interacted with him on many occasions. I always found him to be very humble and obedient. He had a passion for football and was considered a key player for whichever team he would play for. After completing his education in Jamia, he was officially appointed to Uganda as a missionary in 1988 and served across several jamaats. In 2007, the deceased went to Pakistan along with two Ugandan missionaries and had the opportunity to revise the translation of the Quran in Luganda. He completed this task within 3 months. Perhaps he was weak in his studies during Jamia. However, later on he continued personal study and increased his knowledge. The deceased had a passion for tabligh, and through his tabligh, a large number of people accepted Ahmadiyyad. He would travel extensively on his bicycle for the purpose of tabligh. On one occasion when he was on a tabligh expedition, his wife passed away, and there was no way of communicating this to him. When he returned from his trip, he discovered that his wife had passed away and the burial had already taken place. He dedicated his life for the service of his faith and lived a life of simplicity. He was kind-hearted, compassionate, and caring. He would look after the poor and needy. He was a true devotee of Khilafat and would deem it essential to abide by every commandment of the Khalifa. I have seen African missionaries and Wafa Zindagis, in fact the general African population, that they have a special bond with Khilafat." Amir Sahib of Uganda, Muhammad Ali Kahiro Sahib, writes, "The deceased was an exemplary missionary with a kind heart. He was an individual who would invite others to the path of Allah and render his services for his faith. Despite suffering many hardships, he never complained about anything. Rather, he always occupied himself in serving the faith. After the demise of his first wife, he married for a second time, and a short while after, married again. One of his wives says, 'Throughout his life, I found him to be a loving and kind-hearted man who is content at all times and would always show gratitude to God Almighty.' His daughter writes, 'Our father was very loving and patient. He would always care for our needs and would encourage us to act on the teachings of the faith.' The deceased leaves behind two wives and 9 children. May Allah shower His mercy on him and grant him forgiveness. May his progeny remain attached to the Jamaat and Khilafat."
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.